Welcome back to another episode of I Am Unlocking Destiny and Finding Purpose. I'm your host, Maria Bobiles, and I want to make sure that we are on track on this journey to destiny and purpose. As you know, this podcast follows the themes in my book, Unlocking Your Destiny and Finding Purpose. And at the moment, we are sitting at chapter 5 called Divine Timing. And a few episodes ago, we had a faith and fitness check-in with our friend Lester Hernandez that touched on divine timing, but I kind of wanted to reel us back onto the theme and the topic in chapter 5 of my book. And if you haven't gotten it yet, I have a special offer for all my listeners. I'll have the link in the bio for you to claim your special offer. It's a copy of my book plus a 5-week journal that has prompts and gives you an opportunity to lay out your frame of mind, your mindset, and take account of where you are and where you want to be. I'm also offering free 30-minute sessions available to people who are interested in coaching and just digging deeper. God's blessed me with so much, and I shared with you guys in a previous episode that I've been blessed with an award that I didn't realize I was in the running for. It was as a top coach in America. So I can't take credit for that. And because God's blessed me with it, I'd like to continue to share that blessing with you guys. So I'll have that link in the description for you as well. But I wanted to take us back to chapter 5, in which I entitled Divine Timing. And it's a chapter that discusses how God's timing is perfect, and He lays everything out, and we just need to trust Him through it. In Genesis 1, verses 14 to 19, I'm going to read it from the WEB version. It says, God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs to mark seasons, days, and years. And let them be for lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on earth. And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light to the earth and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning, a fourth day. And a lot of what we've been talking about through the podcast, as we were going through the themes of the book, as we were doing check-ins with our friend Lester, and through our interviews with my spiritual family, Prophets Ruth and James Hernandez, and our friends Laura Lawrence from the Children's Evangelism Fellowship, we hear about their journeys and the importance of the faith that you exercise and stretch along the journey. And whether you are walking with God or not, there are some ups and downs on this journey. And what I'd like to present to you is an opportunity to realize that Jesus is walking with us. He invites us to walk with Him because He knows the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And when we walk with Him, though troubles do not cease, we are granted endurance, wisdom, and opportunities to make it a little easier in knowing that we don't have to have everything all planned out or under control, that we can lean on Him to get us through it all. So in the last four chapters of the book, and as you've been listening along through this podcast, we've been going through some activities that have really been looking at the struggle. We've been, challenged to look in the mirror and get to know the good and the bad, and really challenged to take account for things that we can change and look at how all things can work together for good. How the bad things that have happened in our lives aren't necessarily to keep us down, but are lessons for us to learn and to grow from. And I'm not going to share anything that I don't know. And we've been really looking at the Word of God and allowing His light to shine in our lives to hopefully give us insight on everything that He's created us to be. But we're also shown that in the dark times, how the enemy of our souls has tried to use circumstances in our lives to distract us or keep us in the dark about the tremendous blessings the Lord our God has given us. Through the last few activities that are in my book that I'm inviting you to get, for instance, in chapter one, we have the identity map. And then in chapter two, we look at looking at the root of things, what keeps us in negative cycles, where, what are our thoughts or feelings, what are our triggers. In chapter three, we are looking at mastering our hearts and taking account of what are our coping mechanisms. I've even included a CBT, a cognitive behavioral therapy tool called the ABCD problem solving tool that we can look at on how to examine our mindset and ways of thinking and expose what may be causing us problems. It's an exercise that will help us open new pathways of thinking and stop us from being victimized by our own mindsets. You know, it's so easy to put the blame on others, but you know, spiritually speaking, a lot of people can religiously blame the devil for a lot of their problems. But sometimes it's our own thinking. It is so easy for us to blame others for the circumstances that we find ourselves in because they did this to me, they said that to me, and I'm not to blame. Spiritually speaking, even religiously speaking, it's so easy even for people to blame the devil for the bad things and the circumstances that they find themselves in. But sometimes we put ourselves in these situations. Every day we have a choice. And taking accountability for those choices that we've made and what triggers those choices and what makes us stand by those choices to a fault is a really important thing to do in moving forward to get out of these cycles that we find ourselves in and to walk into the freedom of a new day, a new life, and everything that God has in store for us. In chapter four, we talk about cultivating seeds of greatness, and it's a chapter that reintroduces you to you again. Into the dreams that you've put away, the passions that you've put on the back burner, everything that God put on your heart that seemed to have been covered by the circumstances in life. This chapter, we're recovering them and reclaiming them that we can breathe life to them again and really making plans to cultivate those seeds and make a plan to care for them, that they may grow into fruition. Like taking real serious plans, like looking at what are ways I can accomplish this, like what is a timeline I can accomplish this goal or that goal. Just really taking account and reigniting the fire within you. And these plans, you're gonna see that you can't do it on your own, and that you're definitely gonna need the leading of the Holy Spirit and a community of people that really care and can nourish you and your dreams to flourish. This is about growing a community. It's about growing the body of Christ. It's about building kingdom. And that's never just for us solely. It's to serve one another. And it's an exciting thing to think outside of your own circumstances and be part of a greater picture. Something that is greater than just yourself. And it really puts into perspective that the time that we have is blessed, and we are blessed to be a blessing. Now, everything that grows definitely needs time. And as we're working on repentance and making our heart pure before God, it does take time to really dig deep and be able to present ourselves to Him honestly so that we can be renewed and made whole. But as we're doing this work, God is equipping us and preparing us and positioning us to see the fulfillment and manifestation of His promises in our lives, in His timing. And that is the biggest thing, His timing, not necessarily ours, but His timing. So in discussing divine timing, everything happens in life at the exact time that God wills for it to happen. When I had written Unlocking Your Destiny and Finding Purpose, it was like the fifth week into the pandemic. And it was interesting because prior to the lockdowns and everything, we were meeting with the community and hanging out with our friends and just creating a community of people who uplift each other and are finding passions and things that they didn't realize brought so much joy. And when we had to be isolated, it was very different, but it didn't stop me from wanting to pursue helping people and offering what God has blessed me with. So it pushed me towards writing this book and being able to offer people to walk through this journey at their own pace with the tools that can help them overcome. And I want to show you that times of isolation aren't always a bad thing. I mean, I wrote a book from that time of isolation, but it can be a time of protection and blessing. The writer of Ecclesiastes writes, "Everything has its timing." In chapter 3, verses 1 to 8, in the WEB version, it says, "For everything there is a season and a time, for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." Everything that grows in nature has a time of incubation. during this time of incubation, what is growing is at its most vulnerable state and needs isolation and protection for proper development, growth, and to complete maturation. Destiny and purpose aren't things to be taken lightly, and I am very intentional about growing in spirit and growing into the fullness of my purpose. And I really believe that a part of it is helping you introduce you to yours. And at this very moment, having done all the exercises leading to this chapter and leading to this time that we're in, like right today is September 25th. It is Yom Kippur in the Jewish calendar. It's a time of harvest. It's a time of atonement. It's the perfect time and position to check what time it is. What do I mean by that? Putting in the work to plow and break hard ground, to sow the seeds of the Word of God, you're making time to reflect and take inventory of the things that God has blessed you with, and discerning the things that He wants you to lay down. In the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verses 7 to 9, in the King James Version, it says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth into his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So what happens after ground has been broken and seeds are sown? We check the time. Check the time. It's time to grow. You're in a position of freedom to say yes to God and have a life filled with purpose and promise. Walking in purpose and promise doesn't mean that the past won't pop up or be brought up again. Every time you enter a new place in personal growth, it'll require a new version of you. All the old thoughts, language, and maybe even the attire may not be enough to get you through this new level or to sustain you. No matter how much experience you had in the last level of your life, if your mindset is still back there, you'll get stuck. And it also doesn't mean that the people from the last season of your life won't be in this new season. But it's about discerning who can help nourish what God is growing in your life. A key to moving forward is repentance. According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, repentance is the action or process of repenting, especially for misdeeds or moral shortcomings. It is a desire to make a change of mind or mindset, or to change one's way of thinking. God has such an amazing plan for us, but what is required from us is that we seek Him and account for what we need to change. In Jeremiah 29, verses 11 to 13, in the King James Version, God said, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." The Bible story that best embodies the theme of divine timing for me is when God liberated Israel from Egypt for them to possess the promised land. We can read the story in Exodus chapter 1, verses 1 to 14, and see how Israel took refuge from drought in the land of Egypt. And they not only grew in number, but also affliction. For 400 years, they incubated. And it was promised that after these 400 years, they would be set free to possess the land that God has for them. In Genesis 15, verses 13 to 16, you can read that. But it was divine timing for Moses to be born when he was born. And everything that happened since happened for a reason. In plain sight, God set Moses apart, or in other words, isolated and protected him for a great purpose. It was for the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham and to lead Israel out of the promised land. And I want to stop for a minute and pose this question to you for reflection. Could it be that what you're about to overcome or break through is a moment that your ancestors have been praying for? The liberation from financial debt, the liberation from generational curses. Could what you are struggling with now, God is calling you to lean on Him because you are called for such a time as this. When Israel was liberated from Egypt, there was a way to the promised land that would have taken 11 days or something like that. But that route would have led Israel into wars, which would probably have led them back into Egypt. So God took them the long way and led them by way of the Red Sea. And though it could have taken them 11 days, because they couldn't get their minds right, because Israel couldn't set their minds straight and present themselves clean before God that they can worship Him and Him only, it took Israel 40 years. Now, I don't want to be the person that takes 40 years to learn a lesson. You know, like, I want to be the person that, like, okay, Lord, I know I screwed up. Now show me how to do it right. Like, that's me. And speaking to you in my 40th year, I'm telling you right now, like, every step that I've taken since I've given my life to Christ, like, that's me. Like, show me where I need to make it right. Show me where I need to adjust my steps so that I'm walking in the steps that you've ordered, Lord. Like, that's just me. Like, always taking, like, this is what my spiritual parents have always been telling me. Like, every day, take your heart before the Lord and every day get right before Him. And it's just a honest practice as a believer so that you can be presented as a vessel to be used by Him, that He can trust you because you're not even hiding things from yourself or Him. Like, you are actively placing yourself at the altar for God to burn up whatever needs to be burned up so that you could be presented as a clean and wrinkle-free vessel as the bride of Christ. So I believe part of my God-given destiny is to shed light, direct and lead people who don't necessarily have that person in their life, to tell them that God doesn't want you to waste any time. He loves you and He wants you to live a fulfilling life of purpose and promise. He doesn't want you to be miserable. He loves you and He has all these gifts and has lined up everything and ordered your steps. And we just need to get our spirit and soul aligned to walk into it. Alignment is a key in divine timing. When we have a relationship with God and trust that things will happen at the time that they should, we live in expectancy, joy, and hope for what is to come. And that wait may vary in natural time, like from 3 days to 8 years to 40 years to whatever. But that expectancy knowing that God doesn't lie and He never fails is something that we need to cling on to and allows us to stretch our faith so that when He does give it to us and we're in position to receive it, because that is a big thing, to be able to receive it, to be of the right heart, to have the right character, to have matured enough to be able to receive it and steward the promise correctly, is also a big part of preparation in receiving the promises of God. When Jesus appeared to his disciples after he rose from the grave 3 days, they asked him if this was when he was going to restore Israel. They were living in hope and expectation for this promise to manifest. We can read that in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. We are accustomed to making plans on our own and working them out in a timely manner, right? It's natural for us to create an order, and that makes sense. And follow through. It's in our DNA. It's the way God is. He is a God of order. When we walk with God, though, he transforms our minds and shapes us into what is necessary to fulfill our destiny. God does everything in his timing, not necessarily ours. And that can get really frustrating, as I shared, if we lean on our own understanding and not God's. And as we've read and heard in the book of Ecclesiastes, that God has a time for everything and his timing is perfect. So in this chapter, in this episode, an exercise that I want to present to you is to write out what's on your heart, plain and simple, and present it to God and wait on the Lord. You may have heard that statement before. Waiting on the Lord doesn't mean to sit and do nothing, but it does mean that we are doing what we can to be ready, become equipped and prepared for the appointed time for God to release what he has promised. This is for us to follow what the scriptures say in Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. I'm going to read it in the WEB version. It says, I will stand at my watch and set myself on the ramparts and will look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. Yahweh answered me, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he who runs may read it. For the vision is yet for the appointed time, and it hurries toward the end and won't prove false. Though it takes time, wait for it, because it will surely come and won't delay. So if you own a copy of my book, I invite you to follow the prompts. If you feel stuck, message me and I will be honored to assist. And if you don't own a copy of my book, check out the description. I have a special offer for you who are listening, and I'm going to take this opportunity to pray with you. Lord Jesus, I come to you like blind Bartimaeus, asking you to have mercy on me. I ask you give me eyes to see what time it is, as you put the lights in the heaven to be for signs and seasons, days and years. I pray that by your light, my eyes see, my ears hear, and my mind understands your divine timing in my life. I present to you my vision. Now let me see it the way you see it, Lord, so that I may continue to trust you with faith, hope, and courage. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. You are sovereign, holy, and worthy of all the praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
Do you hear? glory. Send the rain.